Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined tonight by Alex Newman of The New American, and then we'll be joined by Trevor Loudon, one of the most knowledgeable guys on communism. Are we being pushed toward a civil war? We'll talk to Alex Newman about that as well as Trevor Loudon. It seems as though the deep state is doing everything they can to bait the American people into doing something, well, that they shouldn't do. Trying to bait somebody into doing something because they're so angry they go and fly off the handle and do something dumb. Or are they setting the scenario to use some kind of false flag event and then blame it on someone on the right who's really not on the right at all? Alex Newman, Trevor Loudon, we'll get into that. Then we'll be joined by Annie Cyrus and Wes Peters. Some important updates from both of them as well. Alex Newman joins us. He's a regular on Lindell TV each and every day. Hope you watch his show. His website is also the Sentinel. What is it? LibertySentinel.org. LibertySentinel.org. Thank you, Logan. And then he's at The New American as well. Alex, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much, Brandon.
All right. So, you know, shocking, I guess, in one regard to see how much the country is sliding. To think that the Federal Bureau of Investigation would do what they did yesterday to a former president who's just perhaps months from declaring his candidacy again for the White House. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had done that to Joe Biden over the Biden laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop? And frankly, maybe he would have had every legal justification to raid the Biden's homes with the information of collusion between the Chinese government, the communist government, and the Biden family. But can you imagine what the liberals would be saying if he had his FBI raid the home of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden while he was in the White House about to face Joe Biden on the campaign trail?
We'd have impeachment trials, we'd have UN resolutions, we'd have state legislatures in Democrat states threatening nullification. I mean, it just would be a circus. And, you know, unfortunately, Republicans don't seem to be nearly as effective as Democrats in resisting these kinds of police state tactics.
That's because I think a lot of the Republicans are compromised. A lot of them are dirty, dirty, low-down dogs that are compromised. I hear stories from credible people on a regular basis about elected Republicans in Washington, and you do too, now don't you?
Yes, indeed. And I wanted to say what you started off the program with, I think is right on the money. Look for federal informants and federal agents to be running around telling people that we should blow something up, that somebody should be assassinated, that somebody should be kidnapped. And that's how you know, just like with Ray Epps, when the whole crowd stood around and said, Fed, 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 you know, you can be sure that either this is somebody who's not thinking clearly or it's somebody who is trying to stir up problems so that they can use that as a pretext to clamp down on the opposition like they're doing. But honestly, I'm not surprised by any of this, Brandon. I've been warning people for months that we should expect this. In fact, I think they're going to try to arrest Donald Trump, probably on very serious charges and probably in the not too distant future.
All right, let's talk about that, because what they're going for is some kind of federal law that would keep him from running again. We looked at the 14th Amendment, Section 3, last night on the broadcast. The words insurrection or rebellion are in the 14th Amendment, Section 3. Insurrection or rebellion. That's what they're trying to get him on, and then they can say he can't run again, which tells me they're not so confident in their voter fraud that they realize if the numbers are too big, he overwhelms the algorithm and he wins like he did the first time. I think Hillary Clinton thought she was going to win handily. I think that's why she came, according to reports, completely unglued, because she never expected to lose, but he overwhelmed the algorithm. I think Carrie Lake, who I interviewed at CPAC last week, overran the algorithm. She overcame it. I think they're afraid Donald Trump can overrun the algorithm. What say you?
I think so, too. And I think there's more to it than just trying to prevent him from winning the election. I do think they're terrified of these people ever getting back into power. But there's another element, too, and I think it's partly to demoralize and terrorize the American people. There's no single person in the country that would have as big of an impact if he went down than Donald Trump. He is the nominal head of all of the opposition forces in the country, the opposition to Democrats, the opposition to globalism, the opposition to open borders, the opposition to Islamism, to socialism, to all the negative things that are coming down on our country. Donald Trump is the nominal figurehead leading the opposition. And so if they can take him down, it basically makes the rest of the opposition either cower in fear or lose their minds. And so there's a real symbolic value to going after Donald Trump. It tells the whole world, look, there's nobody that we can't get. There's not a single person, including Donald Trump, your leader, the former president, who we can't take down. And, you know, at that point, I think it just would be such a blow to the United States. I don't know that we would ever recover.
And what do you think if they were to arrest Donald Trump? I mean, I do believe there'll be some people that come unhinged, and that concerns me. What do you say?
Certainly. And, you know, probably you would have, if not false flag attacks, certainly FBI informants and things like this going around stirring up the dupes that they've been manipulating for months. You know, they do this. We've talked about this on your show before, Brent. They find mentally unstable individuals, people who are suffering from serious mental disorders, schizophrenia, things like this. They radicalize them. They give them all the tools. They give them ideas for things that they could do. We just saw this with the fake kidnapping of the governor of Michigan. The whole thing unraveled in court. The jury acquitted everybody because it came out this was an FBI plot from start to finish. So we should not be surprised at all to see, just like you said, people coming unglued, people being radicalized by FBI informants and bloodshed. And I think the deep state, the people that are after Donald Trump, would love nothing more than to sit back and eat popcorn and watch Americans massacre each other in the streets over these types of issues.
Are we going to have an election this fall?
It's a good question. And, you know, I really don't know. I'd like to say yes. I'd like to say we'll have a legitimate election. But I think the way things are going, it's a perfectly legitimate question to wonder whether we're going to have an election and certainly whether we're going to have a fair election. I think those are both big questions. I know there's a lot of efforts going on to make sure we have elections and that we have fair ones, but we'll have to see what those come to.
So tell me, you're working on a big piece for Epoch Times, right? Tell me about it.
I am. Yeah, actually, I just sent it in. It should be published soon. 19 state attorneys general have sent a really bombshell letter to BlackRock, to the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, big time Democrat, totally connected with Biden, Obama.
What a last name, by the way. Wouldn't you change your name?
Right. So this guy's got $10 trillion under management. A lot of that actually comes from our states, right? The state pension funds, things like this. So just the conservative states have probably $500 billion invested with BlackRock. And so they said to Larry Fink, look, it looks like your company is violating this law, this law, this law. They said, you know, you're pushing the climate agenda, you're pushing your political views, you're pushing this environmental social governance, the ESG metrics, when your job, according to the law, is to make money for your clients. The pension funds of our states are your clients, and instead of making money for them, you're screwing around with our money and telling companies that they need to go woke and they need to do this, that, and the other. You're also, by the way, destroying industries that are critical to our state, that pay the taxes that we put into your accounts. And so they're demanding answers. By August 19th, I talked to the state attorney general of Montana, Austin Knudsen, great lawman, you know, law and order kind of guy. And he's serious. He said, we're going to be starting investigations. The legislature is going to be acting on these things. Got comments from Todd Rokita, the attorney general of Indiana. Same thing. It looks like these people are not fulfilling their fiduciary obligations to the investors. So I think this pushback is going to be very significant. I also talked to Riley Moore, who I've interviewed several times this year. He's leading a coalition of, I think, 16 state treasurers. Not every state has a treasurer, but a lot of the states like West Virginia do. And so he actually created a list of banks that are not allowed to do business with the state of West Virginia anymore. And BlackRock is on it because, again, he says they're not worrying about making money. They're more worried about destroying industries they don't like the coal industry, the fossil fuels, the power generators. And by the way, funneling our money over to communist China to build up their economy, says this is a threat to our national security. So this pushback is huge. It's not going anywhere. And it'll be very interesting to see what Larry Fink, board member of the Council on Foreign Relations, I call that deep state headquarters here in the U.S., board member of the World Economic Forum, you know, the Great Reset people. So these are serious people, but our states and they have the power to take serious steps to resist this. And I'm encouraged to see at least some of them doing something.
Yeah. All right. You also have something else you wanted to talk about tonight. Do you remember what it was?
Well, one of the big things I've been digging into, and I know you've talked about this quite a bit on your program, too, but the war on our farmers.
Well, in fact,
that's
the article I just brought up. I wasn't sure where you're going, but there it is. War on farmers leading you to eat bugs.
Yeah, and so that's the end goal, right? One of the end goals, after they starve us, transform our food supply, bankrupt all the small farmers and ranchers, they are already making the preparations to have us eat bugs. And you know, when people who haven't been paying attention hear that, they're like, oh, don't be crazy. What a silly conspiracy theory. No, that's actually what they're doing. They've got their government-funded propaganda services, PBS, NPR, the CBC up in Canada, the BBC in the UK, just constant broadcasting of propaganda convincing us that we should eat bugs. But this is very serious. It's going to be a very painful transition to where we are now, to a world where we're basically desperate enough to eat bugs.
Desperate enough to eat bugs. I know. Isn't that the truth? Let's talk about education. What's the latest you got in education?
Well, several key things. One of the big things that I wrote about recently for Freedom Project, the UNESCO, I got a report from UNESCO. The UNESCO is the UN's education agency, where they talk about how governments need to use tax funding for private schools to bring those private schools under control. And so there's a lot of great conservatives, great liberty-minded folks, even a lot of great Christians who have fallen for this narrative that we need to get, you know, they call it the money should follow the child. And it sounds so great in principle, but what this UNESCO report makes very clear is that as soon as the hand goes out to grab the taxpayer cash, the handcuffs go on, and suddenly your private school becomes a government school. That's their plan. That's what they're working on, and we need to sound the alarm before all of our Christian schools are on the take.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wrote my first book on education in 1993, and so many people were pushing for school choice and vouchers. I know they sound good, but my warning was as soon as you take the money, they get to dictate to you what you do, what your curriculum is. And if you build a bigger building and you attract more students, and then you're taking that money and all of a sudden they say you have to do this, well, guess what? You're now addicted to the money. You're trapped. You need the money to pay for the expansion and the new buildings you just built and still have a mortgage on, and that's exactly where they want you. So even if it doesn't start out with strings, it ends up with it, and then they're controlling you. So I could always had a hard time when I was speaking on education so much in the 90s, convincing parents that vouchers sound good, but they can be very dangerous. One of the only ways I've seen around it is tax credit for the parents right onto their taxes, where they get to deduct their child's education on their taxes so it doesn't go to the school, and therefore they can't mandate onto the school. That I think is could be acceptable, because again, how do you put strings on or mandates onto the school when it's the parents taking the deduction?
Yeah, and that's actually an option that we're exploring right now. We're working with some of the greatest legal minds religious authorities on this exact question. I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. We've got an incredible team, including top officials from education world, top lawyers, top Christian ministry leaders. And we're actually going to be having a meeting of the Christian Education Initiative in just about a month now in Virginia, just for leaders of Christian ministries. I think there's going to be 75 people there or so. And we're going to be tackling this exact question because, you know, what you just explained, I watched it happen, Brandon, in Sweden. My wife is from Sweden, so I was living in Sweden with her. And we watched the exact same thing happen. The government said, oh, we're just going to give vouchers. The money's going to follow the child. It'll be like the child has a backpack with money in it. Same arguments that you're hearing here. And then in 2012, the trap closed, and they actually said any of the private schools that are taking this government money can no longer have the Bible there. They can no longer be teaching prayer. They can no longer teach Christianity. They all have to teach the government curriculum. And so one of the options that we're exploring is the idea of a tax credit on whatever you would normally pay for a public school. So to give you an example, here in my state of Florida, we've got all kinds of deductions already that apply to your property taxes. If you're a veteran, you get a deduction on your property taxes. If you're a widow, you get a deduction on your property taxes. And so one of the proposals that we're going to be entertaining and potentially creating model legislation on is, look, if you're a homeschool parent and you have school-age children, or you're a parent of school-age children who go to a private school, a Christian school, and you're paying for that, then you can deduct whatever portion of your property taxes would go to the government's brainwash camps. You could just deduct that right off your taxes before you pay it, so the money never goes to the government, right? That's the key. It can't go to the government first and then come back to us with strings attached. It just stays with us, and that's the end of the story. That's probably the only way to prevent the government from getting control of our private schools. And, you know, they may try to do it even without the money. They may just step in and say, you can't do this because we said so. But that'll be further down the road. We'll get to that battle when it gets there. In the meantime, we have to protect the independence of our homeschool communities and of our private and Christian schools.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, any other big thing that you're watching? By the way, have you ever heard of 30 by 30?
I have, yeah, the plan to lock up 30% of our lands and resources and forests and oceans. You see this number 30 everywhere, Agenda 2030, right, by 2030. That was my last big front page above the full story for the Epoch Times. I got it right here. It's been translated into a bunch of languages, been read by millions all over the world, behind the global war on farming. And it's about the UN Agenda 2030, the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals that are right at the heart of this war on farming. So if people want to understand where this is coming from and where it's going from, the World Economic Forum is a strategic partner of the UN in implementing Agenda 2030. That's why all the corporations are going woke and pushing this agenda. It is directly tied to the destruction of small farms that we see from the Netherlands to Sri Lanka to Oklahoma to Canada to South Africa to China. You pick your place. It's all coming from the same place, and they're dead serious about moving us off the land, packing us all into these tiny little cities, and having the rest of it for themselves. And by the way, the same people pushing this think there are way too many people on the planet, but don't worry, they've got your best interests at heart.
Well, we had Margaret Beifeld with us at CPAC. She drove 2.5 hours one way with her husband Dan to be with us, and we spent a good 45 minutes with her on Friday night at the news desk talking about 30 by 30. I'd had her on radio, but it was so important to get her to the prime time audience. And of course, what they said was 30% of taking up 30% of the farmland and waterways by 2030. That's their goal by 2030, 30%.
Right.
But their ultimate goal is 50% by 2050.
Yeah, and then 75% probably by 75, we'll have to see. But no, I mean, their ultimate objective, as the World Economic Forum put it in that infamous video now, you will own nothing, but you will be happy, as Mr. Schwab might say. They're dead serious, right? And then on the next slide, they say you get to rent everything. So Klaus Schwab and his little – it is neo-feudalism on steroids, right? Just like back in the days of feudalism, you will own nothing. But if you're a good serf and you do what you're told and you hand over 60% of everything you produce to your overlord, then, hey, you'll get a pat on the head and we'll let you keep farming that little piece of land or doing whatever it is we want you to do. This is the return of neo-feudalism. And it's actually exactly what this man here, Carol Quigley, from the book Tragedy and Hope outlined. He was Bill Clinton's mentor.
That's right.
He viewed himself as part of what we call the deep state today, and he was very proud of it. He said his big difference of opinion with them was that they wanted to be secret, and he thought they ought to be known. But he said that the end goal was a system, a feudalistic global system, with the central banks and the Bank for International Settlements at the apex of that system, where these self-proclaimed elites, I call them predators, would basically control the political system of every country and the world economy. And they are not kidding around. They want to make it so that we will own nothing. And if you go back far enough, you know, right when the UN started with this sustainability garbage, Brandon, I've actually got the quote here. Let me pull it up for you. I'm sure you've seen it before. But in 1976, the UN held one of its first sustainability conferences. It was in Vancouver in Canada, and they came up with the Vancouver Declaration. It was a Habitat One thing, and this is an exact quote from their declaration. Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is a principal instrument to the accumulation and concentration of wealth. Therefore, it contributes to social injustice. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. And of course, that doesn't apply to the land that Bill Gates is buying up. That doesn't apply to Ted Turner's land. That applies to our land. And, you know, a lot of the wealth that exists in the world today ultimately comes from the land, right? Where do you think we get the metal, the wood, the building materials, the food? I mean, so much of the wealth of the world today literally comes from the land. If we don't get to control our own lands as private property, we will be completely at the mercy of the people who do control it. And it's, you know, Chinese system writ large.
Absolutely. Here, if you go to Worldview Times, show my computer if you guys don't mind. Worldviewtimes.com is one of my websites, worldviewtimes.com. And what we do is we transcribe all of my news reports. You guys just watched the Worldview report, that 30-minute nightly broadcast. Well, here is the headline from yesterday that I picked. Israel may ditch paper money for digital currency. And if you click on it, it'll bring up the whole transcript. And leading off tonight, I said the state of Israel is leading the way into the cashless society. A new Israeli law went into effect Monday, prohibiting cash payments to businesses of over 1760, the equivalent of $6,000 or 6,000 new Israeli shekels, or NIS. Previously, the use of cash up to 3,200 could be used in business deals. The ceiling for transfers between private individuals would be $4,400. a decrease from the current limit of nearly $14,700. And they go on to say they're going to have a grace period of 2 years before the tax authority starts imposing fines on those who engage in cash deals of up to almost $2,500. So I guess they're going to, if you get involved in any cash at all, you're going to get fined up to $2,500. So there you go. I mean, in fact, it's expected that in the future, laws will be passed prohibiting the stockpiling of more than 2,000 shekels, the equivalent of $58,600 in cash at private residences. So I hate to say it, but Israel is really leading the way with COVID passports, cashless society. But I guess we shouldn't be shocked, depending on your eschatology. Mine says that the Bible is true and accurate, and I think Israel sadly will sign a peace deal with the devil, literally the Antichrist. So we shouldn't be shocked that they're helping to lay the Antichrist system, because eventually they'll get into a covenant with him before he turns and starts slaughtering them.
It's interesting you say that, Brandon, because one of the things that really alarmed me during the whole COVID thing, I mean, Israel was one of the worst when it came to responding to COVID, but their prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, allegedly a right-wing conservative, literally proposed, this was on the front page of the Jerusalem Post, literally proposed microchipping every child in Israel to keep them safe from COVID. And he never did quite explain how microchipping all the children was going to keep anyone safe from COVID, but very, very, very bizarre. But, you know, these limits on cash, they're coming in all over the world. Greece now has similar things. Cyprus has similar things. A lot of European countries are thinking about this. And the war on cash is a critical part of this. You know, a lot of us will say, well, I'm never going to take a microchip. I'm never going to have a vaccine passport. I'll never put your dumb apps on my smartphone. But when your universal basic income comes through there, when you can't do large transactions without participating in that system, suddenly you'll be singing a different tune. And they know that, right? They understand incentives very, very well.
Yeah, look at this headline. This is from Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch over at Front Page Mag. Biden's handlers released 324 unvetted Afghan evacuees on terror watch list into the U.S. 324. His subtitle is, "It's all going according to plan." Biden's catastrophically botched withdrawal from Afghanistan was bad enough in itself, diminishing America's standing in the world and projecting an image of weakness that has encouraged and emboldened enemies of our nation worldwide. The fallout from it, however, could be incalculably worse. A Defense Department whistleblower has revealed that 324 of the Afghans whom U.S. forces brought to the United States as the disaster in Afghanistan was unfolding appeared on the department's biometrically enabled watch list, which includes terrorists, and yet were admitted to the country without being vetted. No one has been watching the spreading dumpster fire that is the Biden administration could possibly be surprised. There you go. 324 potential terrorists just in that little group, not to mention everything else that's come over the border that we don't know about.
Yeah, and this is all deliberate, Brandon. We're seeing the fruit of this. Now, I'm sure you saw yesterday all the whining from the fake media. Oh, Muslims are being killed and targeted in Albuquerque. And it turned out the killer, the guy who was arrested for the killings, 51-year-old Muhammad Saeed from Afghanistan. Isn't that interesting? They wanted us to believe that it was some right-wing Christian who went and shot innocent Muslims. And, of course, it was not. It was a man arrested from Afghanistan has been taken into custody.
Yeah, that story was going viral, and I kept watching it thinking, that just doesn't sound right. When have you ever heard? They were talking about a Muslim serial killer. You hear about serial killers, right? And they usually have a type, you know, and a particular certain color, hair, age that they go after, right? I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't think I've ever heard of a serial killer that goes after Muslims. This is really weird. And I've been watching the story, but I didn't hear the conclusion. So here it is. I just heard it with you guys. It's come out that the guy actually running around killing the Muslims is a Muslim.
From Afghanistan, yep. 51-year-old Saeed Muhammad from Afghanistan is the man who was arrested for these killings.
And do they know what his motive was?
What his what was? Oh, his motive? No, I haven't seen yet. Actually, they're trying to suppress this story now. We probably will not hear about it again now that they arrested an Afghan.
Here's the headline from Robert Spencer. Hate crime fizzle in New Mexico. Murder of Shiite Muslims turns out to be a Sunni Muslim, not an Islamophobe. Not an Islamophobe. Oops. Yeah. Is right. He turns out to be a Sunni. So there you go. That might explain a little bit. The Shiites were being murdered by a Sunni. And people say, wait a minute, what does that mean? Sunni, think Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, Sunni. Iran, Shiite. So a little rivalry there.
Yep. Yeah, they have very, very fundamental disagreements, and they have been slaughtering each other for centuries over those disagreements. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised to now see this in America, thanks to the government policies of importing enormous numbers of people from alien cultures. But, I mean, this was all by design. You know, you and I have both been sounding the alarm about this forever. We have the Soviet Union. Went into the Middle East, radicalized Muslims, told them that America was the great Satan. Then you had the Central Intelligence Agency going in and radicalizing other Muslims. And we knew that eventually they were going to do this. And it was so obvious what they were doing to Europe, too. You know, the whole reason I think that they're importing huge numbers of people from alien cultures, not just from the Middle East, but just people from alien cultures, because they want to destroy the nation state. They don't want people to say, hey, this is my nation. These are my people, right? So you wake up one day like the people of London or the people of Frankfurt or the people of Malmo, Sweden, and you say, wow, I'm literally surrounded by people who don't speak my language, don't share my culture, don't have anything in common with me. Most of them weren't even born here. Why do we have these arbitrary lines on the map? Why do we have this thing called the nation of Sweden or the United Kingdom? Let's just be a big region. We'll be a EU. And then after that, of course, we'll move to the one world thing. And that's a big part of the Great Reset, too. That's one of the overlooked parts. If you pick up Klaus Schwab's book on the Great Reset, it's got a big segment in there about how we'll pull back from the one world garbage for a minute because people are kind of catching on. You know, the whole COVID thing scared people a little bit. They don't want to have their supply chains linked with China or whatever. But hey, this gives us a great excuse to double down on the regionalism. So we need more European Union style government. So now Joe Biden and AMLO down in Mexico and Trudeau, they're now working again on integrating North America. We've got the African Union, the chains cracking down on the Africans over there. And they just don't stop, Brandon. They just don't stop.
They don't. Well, no shortage of things to talk about. And tell me, because you talk about a lot of these issues on your show, remind our audience when and where they can watch your daily show.
Well, we are live every day on Lindell 2 from 3:30 to 4 Central Time. So that's 4:30 to 5 Eastern Time. And then the rebroadcasts happen early in the morning and late at night. And so, yeah, that's the Sentinel Report. You can also go to the archives. We go to frankspeech.com, looked at TV shows, the Sentinel Report. I think you'll enjoy the content. We've got some great material there. We do a news segment usually every day and then bring you one or two incredible guests. So.
Yeah, and they can also go to libertysentinel.org, right?
Yep, that's my personal webpage. And then I'm a senior editor at The New American Magazine, and you can find us at thenewamerican.com.
Now, are you going to be with us at the summit?
I hope so. I'm going to be in Las Vegas right up until the moment. I got to speak at the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. And then if I can get over there, I am going to. And I know I need to get back very soon. So I'm going to do my best to get there. I sure hope so. And I'll keep you posted.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you being with us.
Thanks so much, Brandon.
Alex Newman checking in. Hope you'll check out his website, thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org. Let's go to my website real quick, one of my websites, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. Putting in another order. The guys in the warehouse called me today and said, Mr. B, we need you to order more. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You haven't let the inventory go down too low, have you? Nope. We just think if you get it done the next couple days, we'll be right where we need to be. So we're keeping up on the inventory. It takes a little bit because of the quantity of the orders. So we would urge you to get it in now. I don't know what they're planning for this fall, but let me tell you again, they're running PSAs for a nuclear attack and what to do. And now they've started in New York with running PSAs about get your go bag. Get your go bag and get ready to go. I don't know what they're planning, folks, but I don't trust these characters. One iota. I did an interview at CPAC with State Senator Bob Hall. He also is a brilliant man that worked on the Minuteman missile systems many, many years ago, 1967. And he's an expert on EMP. And he's now been a state senator in the state of Texas for 8 years, State Senator Bob Hall. We did an extensive interview with him, I did, for about 45 minutes to an hour. I'm going to try to play it prime time for you guys this week because it was so telling. And he said to me, I can't believe we haven't been hit by one already by our enemies. Iran has been practicing shooting a missile off of a cargo ship, a fishing vessel as well, since I think 1998. Just last year, Iran released video footage of a rocket launching system on a cargo ship. All they got to do is go up into the Gulf and let one of those puppies rip, get up over the central part of the U.S. and detonate it. It won't hurt us when the explosion, the nuclear blast goes off. But it will put down the power grid. And, of course, can you imagine what it would be like to be without any power or electricity coolant, hospitals, transportation, your grocery stores. Folks, we have so many threats coming at us. And now, of course, we have Russia threatening us with a supersonic missile. So Russia's upping their threats against us. So again, my friends, you might want to consider, for many, many reasons, an emergency supply. Again, go back to the website here, www.tvstore.com. If you just click on emergency food supplies, up will pop the 1 year, 4 week, 72 hour test kit, 3 month, or 6 month. Again, while supplies last, I'd urge you to do it. This is freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life, okay? So you get a whole year for under $3,000. That's a lot of peace of mind. Now you say, why does it take so long to get it? Because of the volume of orders. 1 year is 24 buckets. That's 12 boxes, okay? That's 12 boxes the guys have to pack up. That takes a while to do that. So it doesn't take too many orders before you're talking about a lot of work. And then, of course, getting it out to the UPS store. So, again, go to WVWTVstore.com. We also have the Worldview Week in general seating tickets. Again, the middle of October, beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, the Ozarks Conference, beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. That's the middle of October. Speakers that are booked to be there include Dr. Peter McCullough, myself, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, Annie Cyrus, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Andy Woods, Terry Turchi, who was with us last night, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, and more. Make sure you're making your resort reservations before they sell out. There's the number, 573-348-3131. Be sure to use that code WRLD. It's going to be a great, great event. The Thursday night concert banquet is optional. The Saturday luncheon is also optional. All the details are there. Don't forget also, while you're there at WVWTVstore.com, I am offering my book, Grave Influence. For as low as $4.99, if you just want one, you get quantity, a 10-pack or a case set. We get them down to $3.99. It's 368 pages, hardcover. Give it to everyone you know. 21 Radicals and Their Worldviews Ruling America from the Grave. In this book, I cover people like Saul Alinsky, Karl Marx, John Dewey, John Maynard Keynes, Aldous Huxley, Charles Darwin, Frederick Nietzsche, Margaret Sanger, William James, Alice Bailey, Helen Schuckman, Sigmund Freud, Alfred Kinsey, Benjamin Bloom, B.F. Skinner, the Frankfurt School, Soren Kierkegaard, Julius Wellhausen, Christopher Columbus Langdow, who's helped mess up our legal system, Betty Friedan, and Roger Baldwin. Roger Baldwin founded the ACLU, and he admitted he was a communist. So again, this is a hardcover book. I'm selling it at my cost in hopes that we can put out as many copies as we can to Americans to wake up and understand the worldview war that's going on. This is one of the projects my foundation engages in, offering these kind of resources at our cost. There's my book, Marxianity. You can actually get my book, Marxianity, also over 300 pages. That's the merging of Marxism with Christianity. And my book, Grave Influence, normally $20 a piece, that'd be $40. Now you can get both of them for $9.98, our cost. Okay? So check it out, WVWTVstore.com. If you appreciate what we're doing, then of course you can go and give to my foundation, WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. Just simply go to WVWFoundation.com. If you want to help out with what we're doing, you also find our mailing address there. Logan, you can put that on the screen if you want. WVWFoundation.com, a contribution of any size, is greatly appreciated to help us fulfill our mission of using our shows, my shows and radio shows and books and free documentaries to proclaim the truth of the Christian worldview. Remember, my documentary, Brainwashed America, Part 1, is absolutely free at brainwashedthemovie.com. Brainwashedthemovie.com. Later this fall, Brainwashed Part 2 will be out absolutely free. Again, because people that help us with our Worldview Weekend Foundation, WVWFoundation.com. And then finally, before we go to Trevor Loudon, here we go. Go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to use the promo code B66. We get credit, you get savings. Buy slippers, moccasins, and slip-ons down to $49.98 with the promo code. You're saving $90. The MyPillow sandals, save $50 with the promo code B66. $29.98. Six-piece MyPillow towel set with promo code. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free with promo code B66. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds. 3-inch MyPillow topper. Great for those college dorms. You save 50% with the promo code B66. The robes, again, save 30% with the promo code B66. Again, you get savings, we get credit. Do some shopping there. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, moccasins, slippers, and much more. Great gifts for housewarming, wedding gifts, and, of course, kids going off to college. A great way for you to get some shopping done and support us at the same time. MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66.